Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where I coach owners of cleaning companies every Monday, Wednesday, Friday on anything and everything related to growing and building cleaning companies. If you are committed to growing your cleaning company, of course, you can check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com and get a literal metric ton of crap to create the cleaning company you've always wanted. And if you want to be a guest on the show, you can email our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com. You can also give us a call at 480-648-5149. We love your feedback, your questions, your rude remarks, your suggestions, all that good stuff. And I'm excited to hear from you, friends. All right, today we are chatting with Ryan Knoll from Tidy Casa. Ryan started just under a year ago and has already built a 5-team. So I'm dying to hear that story and share it with you, Genius Nation. Tidy Casa serves the Phoenix area with residential cleaning services. And if you want to reach out to Ryan and his team, you get a hold of them at www.tinycasa.com. That said, Ryan, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. Good morning.
I got to tell you, I was kind of a behind-the-scenes admission. Usually, you know, 1.5 minutes before we speak, I have no clue who I'm going to talk to, what the scoop is. I just get on and we talk. So that was the case here. And then as soon as we started talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's in Phoenix. He's been doing it less than a year. You're part-time so far. You built 5 teams. I'm like getting more and more compelled by the moment. So tell us a little about, before I start yapping, tell us a little bit about how you got into, you know, from being an adult in the real world to owning a cleaning business and how you went from 0 to 5 teams in just a year.
Well, I've always been a little bit of an entrepreneur at heart. I started my first business when I was 19, making videos for people. That didn't work out. I got into marketing. Long story short, I eventually got to a point where I was looking at the cleaning market, and I read some compelling case studies for cleaning businesses and the viability of them, and essentially there being a lot of low-hanging fruit from a marketing standpoint, so I just decided to go after it. Built the website, did some testimonial videos, just started hustling, and here I am.
Beautiful. And what made you decide to do residential over commercial?
Well, so in my past, I had done B2B type businesses, and there's always a really long lead time between, top of the funnel and when you're actually closing the deal, and that just wasn't something that I was interested in. I mean, I'm sure that we could do it, and I think a lot of the times when people are looking at commercial type businesses or B2B, it seems like it's going to be a lot easier because you can target individuals directly, you know, through your direct mail campaigns or, you know, LinkedIn advertising or whatever. But I've been finding, just because of my history in marketing, B2C is a lot easier because you can go after things like Yelp and Google AdWords a little bit easier, I think. Facebook plays a bigger role, and it just seems like it's a lot cheaper to acquire a lead, and then really all you have to do is be a great company, and you can hang on to the customer. With commercial, you know, you're putting together SOWs and doing all this other stuff, and I just wanted to see if I could avoid that for once.
There's something to be said for going out on a sales call or sending one of your people out on a sales call and leaving with ideally a signed contract and, you know, $300 for the month prepaid, and that's it. Like 26 yeah. and a half minutes later, zero fuss, zero muss, yeah. just getting business done. All right, cool. Well, before we hit the lightning round, because again, you're fascinating. I'm going to hit you with a question I don't hit most people with. What's the number sure. one, just because again, I would kill me if I was Cleaning Nation going, for crying out loud, ask the questions I want to know. What's the sure. number one thing that you've used? And again, I get this is residential, but you know, half of our listeners are residential. What's the number one client attraction method that you've used that you can kind of recommend to Cleaning Nation on the residential side?
So there, what I use 100% is Yelp. And I've done, you know, so I'm search engine optimization person by background. I've done consulting for Fortune 500 companies and all kinds of stuff. And I used to hate Yelp, like the idea of Yelp and reviews and paying for reviews or whatever. Wasn't a fan. But when I started using it for the cleaning business, it works out really, really well. And now 90% of the business, even when we're running Google AdWords and everything else, is from Yelp. The trick there and what I'm seeing is not only do we have to, so we do a couple of things. We have this 200% happiness guarantee thing where if we go out and clean somebody's house and they complain, which let's face it, people are going to complain. We can't make everyone happy. Then we'll go back and re-clean it. Then if they're still not happy, we give them their money back. So 200%. What that does for us is that helps us avoid bad reviews. And through having, so essentially all of our leads and cleanings come through our website. They're put into a scheduler, and the scheduler automatically sends follow-up emails where we can kind of cut that off at the pass. So if there's bad reviews. So if you look at our Yelp page right now, we've got 25 five-star reviews and 0 4-star, 3-star, 2-star. They're all 5-stars. So what we do is with that feedback email, after we do a cleaning, that automatically goes out so we don't have to think about it. We ask them, how was your service? Good, okay, bad. If it was bad, then I follow up with them. I give them a call personally, see if I can talk to them about what went wrong, what I can do to make it right. And we're very, very adamant about making sure that whatever it was that we missed or messed up or we were late or whatever, I can kind of set the customer straight and make them feel good about us again. If it was okay, I might send them an email. Hey, what could we have done better? If it's something serious, like, you know, we completely didn't vacuum anything or whatever, we'll send another team back to make it right. And then if it's good, we send them a follow-up email telling them how important Yelp is to us and that if they, you know, would mind sharing their experience, it would really mean a lot to us. Just very sincere, honest email with a link to our Yelp page. And from that, we get 3 or 4 really good reviews every couple of weeks on Yelp. And then a very small Yelp budget. One of the tricks I found with Yelp, a lot of people get scared because they ask you for a contract. You don't have to have the contract. It's all self-serve. So when they call you saying, hey, sign up for $800 a month, don't do that. Just start with whatever you can afford. I think I started with like $100. It was not even. It was like $50 a month with Yelp ad spend. And then I got 1 or 2 calls, and I said, hey, this is working. And then I jumped it up, and now I'm spending close to $400 a month with Yelp. And we're getting tons of calls from it. But, you know, I just kind of started with being very focused on getting those good reviews, being very focused on making people happy, and spending a little bit of ads, you know, ad spend with Yelp, and phone keeps ringing. So,
man, I got there's a couple things I gotta hit you with some feedback, and I appreciate that. And then we'll move on to the coaching because I feel bad.
Sure.
You're doing such a good job giving Cleaning Nation love. I want to make sure I give you some value too. So the two things I got, one. That's a great system that you've got, Ryan, but I know Clean Nation, before you guys all start blowing up his phone or his email trying to be like, tell me exactly how you do it, the feedback I've got is he understands the importance of reviews and you created a plan. So not to knock your plan or say it's not a good plan, it sounds like a great plan, but I don't want Clean Nation to get caught up in, I need to do exactly what Ryan did. I'd rather you guys get the concept of, hey, I understand reviews are important. I understand that if I have a baller guarantee, which congratulations, every time I do, that's what I give in my private coaching. Let's put together a really spectacular guarantee. And of course, everybody says, oh, they're going to get advantage, I'm going to get screwed, blah, blah, blah. And it just never happens.
Right.
So that's a huge, the underlying concept I would get Cleaning Nation to take home is Yelp sounds fine, not knocking it, not promoting it, just saying great. But the key is you understood that reviews are important and you understand that a guarantee is important. And instead of fighting the customers with, let me tell you why you're wrong and no, you suck and blah, blah, you just create a system where if they're not happy, you say, hey, here's your money back. Let's disassociate. So there's zero kind of fallout for you. And if they're happy, you leverage that as opposed to just saying, hey, thanks for loving me and not doing anything. So that's the 2 cents I would get. Any thoughts, Ryan, before we move on?
Yeah, no, I think that's really it. And I think a lot of times too, when people are complaining, they don't want anything from you. They just want to be heard.
Yes.
So if you kind of open up that funnel to just have somebody, like they go on Yelp and leave bad reviews when they feel like nobody's listening. And if you can just have somebody there to answer the phone and hear them out, then it makes a world of difference and you can avoid all those bad reviews just by paying attention and trying to understand where they're coming from when they say, hey, my, you know, grout behind my sink didn't get cleaned, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to repeat that because it's so important. A lot of times people aren't even pissed off or don't even want you to give them money or do anything. They just want to be heard and not argued with, right? Hey, you did this. Your people are only here 23 minutes and I expect them to be here 45 minutes. You know, your temptation is to go, well, I've got a time tracking system. They were actually there 37. And don't. Just go, man, I am so sorry. Ryan, if you're not happy with the cleaning, we're going to fix it. If I was you, I'd be pissed. I can't believe that you're calling being so sweet and kind to me. I'd be screaming. Thank you so much for helping me out. Is there any chance, Ryan, you're going to start screaming at me if I respond like that? No chance. But if I start explaining, hold on, you said 23 minutes, you're going to just get up and go, oh, you want to, I'm going to lose that fight every time. So I love, that's great, great feedback.
All right. Don't put yourself on the defensive, get on their side and kind of work with them as they're on your team. So
cool. And the one bit of coaching I would give to you, was almost unsolicited, right? You are on my show, but you haven't asked specific coaching, but I don't care. I'm going to give it cause I want Cleaning Nation.
Give it to me. I need it.
One big thing I heard that's a red flag. And again, so much good stuff. So 98% good. The one red flag I've got is Yelp's the only thing you're doing, or that's where 90% of our customers are coming from. I hate that. That just means Yelp can shut you down tomorrow. So my encouragement, if we were partnering together for some reason, is I would spend all of my time diversifying that and having 7 Yelps as opposed to one. So if and when Yelp turns on me or some really powerful Yelp user just gets a burn in his butt and decides to burn me or whatever the case may be, that's 1/7 of my business as opposed to 80% or whatever it is. So that said, now that I've given you the unsolicited coaching, let's move to the solicited coaching. How can I actually help you, brother?
Well, so, you know, with as much success as I've had in the past year, I'm not quite, or I don't feel I'm quite making enough to go full time. So for listeners that might not know, I still have a day job. I work 9 to 5 at an office and do as much as I can during my office hours. I'm sure, hopefully my bosses don't see this, but I don't think they know that I'm doing it. And somehow,
maybe this will help you go full time quicker than you want.
Yeah, there you go. Who knows? Maybe a blessing in disguise. But the question being, you know, as an entrepreneur, and I'm sure, you know, if a lot of your listeners haven't gone through this, maybe they're thinking about going through this at some point, or have in the past, when do I know what's the sign, or what should I look for in my personal life and business to be comfortable, I guess, making that jump from being employed and doing this on the side to doing this full time and making this my main source of income and my main gig.
All right. Such a good question. I would say 90% of the time we do this show, I give what I feel is correct advice. Like this is just the right way to do it. Right. Like what I just said about, you can't have one source of revenue. You need diversification. That's just right. There's no other people could disagree. They'd be wrong. That's fine. They're allowed to do that. But 10%, I kind of wander into my opinion, right? So I'm just kind of putting a big fat disclaimer. This is not the right answer. This is my answer. So it's got to work in your life. So first and foremost, I would encourage anyone asking this question, and again, certainly you, Ryan, but Clean Nation as well, is you're the only one that's going to be able to answer that definitively. As a coach, I can kind of walk you through that path together, but at the end, there's going to be a why, and you're going to walk left or you're going to walk right. I can't do it for you. And there is no left is the right answer, right is the right answer. The answer that you decide and commit to, that's the right answer. So is that okay to have that foundation to build on?
Perfect.
Okay, cool. And I'm going to do a little bit of kind of more private coaching, which I don't usually do. I usually speak really generally, but I just want to, the coaching I'm giving is actually taking you through that process. So I'd like to show Cleaning Nation so they can ask themselves this question. So again, whatever Ryan and I arrive at Cleaning Nation, don't be like, oh, in that case, that's for me, right? Just what I'm trying to share is the process of how to get there. So let's do that a little bit. Are you okay with me being a little personal?
Let's do it. Let's take the journey.
Cool. Yeah, well, it just helps because I can't. It's hard to, you know, hard to give specific advice with general information. Married, yeah, sure. Single, kids, no kids. What are your financial obligations?
Single in a relationship, but you know, I'm very lucky in that, you know, no kids. You know, I got a cat. That's about all my financial obligations.
But what could a cat cost? $300-$400 a month. I mean, they're cheap.
Not even. I make the girlfriend buy the food for that.
Yep. Beautiful.
Yeah, she takes care of that.
So cool. Yeah. Not a lot of financial. So that puts you in a different situation, right? If I'm married, I got 3 kids and a mortgage and my wife stays home. That's a very different conversation than I'm a single guy, minimal financial obligations.
Right.
Okay. Okay. That's great. Second is going to be, So the big things I'm looking for, I'm really looking for three things before I would coach someone to go full time. First is a system to, well, you know, before we do that, I want to give you an encouragement and really give Clean Nation an encouragement. The beautiful thing I just heard Ryan say, and again, this is probably the more, you know, a lot of people come to me for how do I grow my company? But a lot of it's I'm working 60 hours a week and I'm dying. I can't live like this. So the fact that you went from zero to four teams and you guys, Clean Nation, you've been there, or you're in the middle of that, and you did it I don't say part-time because maybe you spent 40 hours a week, but you certainly spent less than 80, right? Or whatever a lot of my customers are. So
right.
If you can do that with 9 to 5 kind of blocked out, I just want to encourage Cleaning Nation, you can do it with 8 to 5, right? So you do not have to work this insane 60 hours a week on call 24/7. That doesn't have to be your life. The first step of changing that is accepting that this doesn't have to be my life. And we got living proof on the phone in video right here with us. All right, that said, the three things I'm looking for before we go full-time. First, do you have a systematized way to attract clients? And it sounds like you do.
Yeah, we do, and we've been pretty consistent. So, you know, we're doing Yelp. We have a little bit of AdWords going, a little bit more expensive than we want to pay per customer, but we still have it. We get a couple of leads through SEO. We're still kind of climbing that ladder. But for the most part, we're getting a pretty consistent 20 to 40 new customers a month. Had a couple of slow months, but for the most part, it's been up and up. So.
And importantly, it's systematized. It's not you humping all day, every day. It's you got system.
I'm not you know, making phone calls and cold calling people. It's they're coming in. We've got a sales funnel. It's built and it's working. So.
Gosh, dang it. Pisses me off. You're not my customer. That's exactly the person I go, see people, this is what I'm telling you. So good. It works whether you're my customer or not. The concepts work. So that's awesome, Ryan. Thank you for sharing that. All right. So that box checked. Second box is, do you have a scalable, repeatable way to bring in new help? Whether it's 1099 or employees, people to do the work, is that, do you have a system for that? I'm not asking you, do you have a system that's perfect? I'm asking a system that works. And it's a system, not you pumping.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest problem with the business, I think, is being able to find those good people. But so far what we do, and I don't know if you could call it a system, but we post ads on Craigslist. We also have a ad with Indeed that we keep running, you know, around the clock. We've got a little web form for people applying for jobs that we use to kind of filter out some of the bad seeds. And then usually from that, if I get 100 people coming in, I get, you know, 5 or 6 good ones that I'll call, go get coffee with, meet with. And it's been working. So it's a system, but probably could be a little bit more refined, but it's what we got for now.
Okay. So you do have a system. It is working. And when I say working, not perfectly, just you're attracting quality people. And gosh, two things on that. One, I hate Craigslist. I love Indeed. I would get away from Craigslist as quickly as possible. That's a whole different episode. So you can take that or not.
sure.
And again, I'm not saying cancel it. I'm saying try. Just same with Yelp is a good foundation, but you need to build. Craigslist is a terrible foundation and you need to build.
I understand.
Other venues. That said, okay, so we've got that system. Those are really what I see creating systems, and those two systems in part, that's really what the business owner should be doing. So the encouragement I want to give you, because again, this is not coaching or advice. This is what I would do. So those are different, right? Coaching and advice is I've done this for 20 years. This is the right answer. Just do that. Right. This is not that. This is, you asked me for my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion. You can take it for what it's worth. If we were working together one-on-one, I was coaching you, I would coach you as soon as possible. Ryan, we quit. We need to change. You are absolutely ready. And then the back end of that coaching would be, let's do the front end. The front end would be, I don't know where you work. That's another question I should have asked. Don't need to know where you work, but do you have a job where you're overcompensated for, where it's like, oh my God, I'm super lucky. I'm making 200 grand a year. I could never replace this job. It's a super secret deal. Or is it just a regular job that you could replace?
It's a good job, and it'd take me a while to find another one like it. I'm not super overconfident, you know, compensated making, you know, hundreds of thousands a year, but, you know, for me where I am, like no college degree, I am doing really, really well.
You're making less than 100 grand a year and it's not some sort of special, like this is a huge opportunity that will never come again. And I get it. If you're like, well, I might have to take 2 or 3 months to really find another job this good. That's fine. You can do that. So let's just worst case, right? Worst case, you quit. everything goes to shit. Somehow, with all this extra time, you make zero extra money. I can't imagine it getting worse. So let's just say it stays the same. And you make 50, 60, 70, 80, some percent less than 100, but probably more than 50 than you're making now. And you go get another job. Like, that's absolute worst case, right? It's not like you're going to quit and then you get cancer. I mean, maybe, but they would be totally unrelated.
Let's hope not. Oh, boy.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
That's okay. So
being a single dude, having a good job, but not an extraordinary job, having the success that you've made with those two systems in place that could be better, right? You, if you had more time, you could really create better systems. I would quit yesterday. I mean, give notice and be a professional, all that good stuff. So obviously, treat your employer badly. But when I say quit yesterday, I mean, I'd go to your employer and just say, hey, here's the thing. I need to, whatever that looks like for you. I haven't had any red flags in terms of you got one really big account that was a friend and you're going to quit based on that, right? You've got consistent ways to get customers. You've got consistent ways to get employees. You don't have any financial things holding you back. Your job isn't this, you know, it's if I quit, I'll never get back. You know, there's a chance if they like you and you quit the right way, 3 months, you can get that job back if you really wanted to, right?
You
went from 0 to 5 part-time. I see no, especially if you, I would keep investing, and it sounds like you're someone that invests in knowledge and learning and coaching, whether it's me or anybody else or just the podcast, free or paid, doesn't matter. If you continue investing in your education and doing those things, I can't coach you this because we haven't had enough time together, but if I woke up in your shoes with information I have, I would talk to my boss today and say, what's it going to look like for me to transition out in a way that protects the company as best I can?
Cool.
So that's that. Any other questions? And again, Clean Nation, that doesn't mean I'm telling you to quit. I'm saying that's the process I would walk you through if we were coaching personally on how to make that decision. Any questions or thoughts before we hit the lightning round, sir?
Yeah, would you mind kind of just unpacking that a little bit? Like, how did you come to, like, what's the key thing that you're looking for there? Was it that I had a system, that I had some income, that I was able to grow part-time? What's kind of the, like, for Cleaning Nation, what's the, you know, the big thing that was like, okay, maybe you could, you know, get away with this?
I like my guest in it, like, helping me out. That was solid, right? I'd be like, hold on, let's see. Cleaning Nation might have questions. What a guy. It wasn't one specific thing. Like, if you have X, quit your job. Because if it was, I would have told you. It's more, there's 4 or 5 deal killers or red flags that would say, hey, either this, you're not ready, or more likely, we need more conversation. So I was expecting this to even be a longer conversation, but I couldn't get any red flags in terms of, I know how to get customers. I know how to get people. I don't have a financial commitment that I'm whatever. I'm a young guy. My job's not, you know, I'm making $300,000 a year, and if I went to the workforce, I'd make 50 grand a year. This is irreplaceable. I couldn't find any red flags, and you've got success. Another, the final red flag would be, I've been doing this part-time for a year, and I can't really, I haven't gotten traction, right? I'm just, you know, I've had the same 4 accounts since I started, the same 2 employees, and I'm plateaued. That doesn't seem to be the case. So to answer your question, there was no single, you had A, therefore you can quit. It was, here's the 3 or 4 red flags I'm looking for. I couldn't even find a yellow flag, frankly, which would be, a yellow flag would be, we need to talk more, right? It doesn't mean you should quit. It just means I can't, I need more information.
It's great to hear. So essentially, we have a system, we have momentum, so we can ride the momentum.
Yeah, and I'd say, honestly, it's 50% your business and 50% your personal life. If you're like, I'm married, I got 3 kids, I'm making 150 grand a year, we spend 150 grand a year, I've got a mortgage, you know, my wife doesn't work, I'd be a lot more cautious. So again, it's probably 50% what's going on in your life personally and 50% how's the business faring. And you need both, right? Even if you were in the situation you are personally, but your business really, you hadn't figured it out yet, I'd probably hold back. If you were doing as well as you are, but you had all these financial commitments and obligations, I'd have a lot more conversations around exactly what that's going to look like.
Great.
Cool. All right. Well, shoot, let's hit the lightning round, man. This has been solid so far, but I don't take up too much of your time. So 3 quick questions. I have full confidence you're going to give 3 rock star answers. Question 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Best advice I've ever received. So when I was talking to a gentleman named Kevin Spidell at one of my last jobs, he has this amazing track record for hiring really, really good people. So one of the things that I asked him was, how do you do it? Everybody you bring in is like these awesome world-changing people. And he would hire them at these, you know, as interns. The next thing you know, I hear they're working at Amazon or Google. Like, he just found this way to get these people really, really early and, did a really great job with it. And the advice that he gave me was just to follow your gut. So I think a lot of the times when we're trying to figure out how do we hire really good people, is it we have to ask them this question, they give us this answer, or do they have this many years of college or whatever, there's kind of a feeling that I get when I'm talking to people and when I'm hiring where I just know it's right or I know it's not. And if I go against that ever, like, okay, well, this person kind of gave me this weird feeling, but they said everything right, maybe I should just give them a chance and see how they do, it never works out. And I don't know why that is, and I don't know what, like, little micro emotion thing I'm feeling or seeing that they're doing that's, you know, kind of causing that trigger. But every time I have just like a little feeling of like, maybe this isn't going to work out, I just don't go for it. And the couple of times that I went against that, it never worked out for me. So the advice was follow your gut, and it was really good advice.
And that, honestly, that works for employees that you've got. I've had many, many, many time where in my heart of hearts, something happened and that relationship kind of broke, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I should fire them. And yeah. 100% of the time I didn't fire them, whether it took a week or a month or a couple months, zero of the dozens of times that's happened where there's been a delay, when I fired them, did I go, I'm really glad I held on to them for that extra day, week, month. I always 100% of the time go, I wish I'd have listened to myself. That I knew what was right then, and I didn't man up and do it. And this last 3.5 weeks has kicked my company in the balls. So couldn't agree more.
Hard lessons to learn, but yeah.
What's the biggest mistake? I'm excited to hear this because you're such a new guy in the cleaning business. What's the biggest mistake you've made so far that we can all learn from?
The biggest mistake that I've made was probably trying to pay people too quick. So we do everything through credit cards. And I didn't realize going into it, you know, because I thought, okay, if I was somebody that was cleaning houses, I would really like to get paid the day of if I can, if not the week of doing the cleaning. Because most of these people are used to getting cash in hand or having a check handed to them after they clean a house so that they have the money right then. And I think from a cash flow perspective, for a lot of them, it's important. So I was trying to, if you clean a house on Wednesday, then you get paid on Friday. What I found out is it's really, really hard to do that. And there's a reason that every other business I've ever worked for paid me the week after.
Yep.
Because, you know, credit cards have to process. And even if we do it as quick as we can, it takes me 5 days to get something from a customer's account into mine, then into my employees. And that was kind of a hard lesson to learn, because after, you know, working with people for 3 months and being like, why do I not have any money in the bank? Something's wrong with my cash flow. And then realizing that I'm just trying to pay people too quick. Yeah. That was kind of rough, because then I've got to sit there and tell everybody, okay, well, I'm going to start pushing off your payments a couple of days, or, you know, just have a hard stop and say, okay, well, you're not getting paid this week. Kind of a difficult conversation to have. And I was lucky that I kept a couple of the teams through that time. But that was a little rough lesson to learn in the beginning.
Yeah, and Cleaning Nation, unintended consequence from that is you attract the wrong people. The people that right. need to get paid today because they can't make rent tomorrow are not the people that you want on your team. Not that you'll never get them, but you don't want to put a big neon sign saying, people that can't control cash flow want to make your cash problems my cash problems. Come here. That's a lie. You want to discourage that, not encourage it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I ran into that too. Like, but I noticed if somebody really, really needs money, I don't know what it is, but even if they need money, as long as they don't let me know that they're like, you know, really in need, it kind of sounds kind of bad to say, but they're always a lot more disorganized. They're, you know, they just have all kinds of other issues that kind of seep into their work life.
And it doesn't seem bad to say. The fact that an employee is willing to, doesn't get that boundary between boss and employee and doesn't see you as, man, this is someone that's important and I need respect and I need him to respect me, therefore I'm not going to have that conversation. So there's a lot of unintended things where you
right.
maybe don't know the psychology behind it, but yeah. So that would have been one of the things had we talked 6 months ago, I would have said, this isn't my opinion. That's a wrong thing. Don't do it. And we can get into what the 20 reasons why you could just listen and not do it. So thanks for sharing that. And if there's one cleaner out there thinking, I'm going to pay everybody right away because they're going to love me. They may, but they won't. They'll hate you and you'll hate you. So last question, what's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice that will make their lives or their business better?
Lives or business better? Talking about just a general idea or a cleaning business idea?
The floor is yours, my friend. Personal, business, cleaning business, whatever you got. How to maintain your cat, whatever you want to share that's going to improve our lives. We're listening, brother.
Oh, this is a rough one. I wasn't ready for this one. I would say, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind, and it's a little bit of a a little bit of a plug, so I apologize if that's not kosher.
If it's not, I'll edit you out.
Okay, perfect. Good to know that I'm safe. So I started using some software called Launch 27, and that is what I used to schedule all my cleanings and bill everything and pay everything. If you can, take a look at that. It changed the way I was doing everything from the start. So,
cool. Hey, as long as you're not an owner in that or an affiliate, and that's just something that you got value out of, we'll leave it in, bro. That's what I'm looking for.
Just an evangelist, and I like it. It made a big difference for me. So
you can evangelize on the show all the live long day if it'll bring value to the listeners. All right, brother. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you sharing your story, and you've got a good one to tell, man. I know that I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you guys want to check out Ryan's show notes page, you get links and kind of overflow or overview of everything we did, go to growmycleaningcompany.com, and again, leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks, and I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.